The gospel lesson is found on page 939 in your Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, to love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you allow us the privilege of coming into your presence to worship you this morning. We do seek to bring you glory and honor. But Father, as we come, we also come with an eagerness to hear your voice speaking to us through your word. Do that now in such a way that our lives would be shaped by your loving hand. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The old man looked tired as he continued to write. The years had taken their toll on his body, but his spirit remained steadfast. He had seen so many wondrous things. Physically walking with the Messiah for 3 amazing years, witnessing miracles and healings, a crucifixion, and then a resurrection. Spiritually abiding with the Messiah for some 60 years ever since in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Participating in the astounding growth and spread of the community of faith now known as the Church. Living with the vivid echo of the Messiah's words bestowing peace, even in the face of tribulation, because he had overcome the world. Now, these many years and miles down the road, challenges remained. His closest friends had all been killed long ago. His years spent in exile on the lonely Isle of Patmos had been difficult. His own earthly pilgrimage was drawing near its end. It was essential that he write these words of instruction and encouragement, the Spirit compelling him to do so. What does overcoming the world really mean? One of the challenges faced by the Apostle John in his time, and all believers through all of time, concerns the popular understanding of overcoming the world. Throughout history, it seems various individuals have worked their way into positions of power with the goal of taking over the world. Just the mention of their names brings to mind epics of world history. Alexander the Great, Attila the Hun, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, just to name a few. Manufacturers have produced games with that same theme of conquering the world. When I was a kid, we had the game Risk. Some of you know that. Today, there are online games like World Conqueror and World Domination 2. I guess the first time it didn't take. The common theme being military conquest by which one person becomes the leader of the whole world. Kind of, that's the attitude built into all that, isn't it? For Christians, the concept of overcoming the world is very different. Different in purpose, in methodology, and in consequence. Rather than being characterized by military conquest, the Christian emphasis is on sacrificial love in keeping with the love we have known from God in Christ Jesus. That is what John is describing in today's epistle lesson. If you want to follow along, we're on page 1067 in the Pew Bibles. As Christians, we begin by understanding that Jesus has already overcome the world. John writes in verse 1, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him." For us to overcome the world is not about a personal accomplishment, but a personal allegiance. We are united with Jesus Christ by faith, trusting in God the Son as our Savior. We are reconciled with God the Father and indwelt with God the Holy Spirit. Having taken our sin upon himself when he died on the cross, Jesus demonstrated the efficacy of his work in rising from the dead. He has overcome the world, winning victory over sin and death by that act of sacrificial love. As you can see, the purpose of overcoming the world is not annihilation, but reconciliation. It is overcoming all the evil influences and impulses which draw us away from God in order to lead us into relationship with God. The ongoing activity of the world, the flesh, and the devil is intended to destroy us, using all kinds of deceptive propaganda to hide that goal, seeking to drive a wedge between us and God. The overcoming work of Christ accomplishes healing and wholeness, bringing us back into relationship with the one who created us. We do not overcome by means of our own strength and ability. We do so by being united to Christ in faith, thereby participating in the victory he has won. It is a new birth into eternal life. For us, as John explains, being born of God is the first essential step in overcoming the world. As John continues, he describes the impact on our lives, which become marked by love and obedience. He continues in verse 2, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." In previous weeks, we have already addressed the connection between loving God and loving one another as children of God. Our genuine love for God shows itself in our genuine love for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. They are inextricably connected. Well, here John takes that a step further, emphasizing the connection between love and obedience. Not only is our genuine love for God shown by obedience to his commands, our love for one another is also shown by our obedience to God's commands. Does that sound strange to you? Let me try to explain with an intentionally absurd illustration. You all know that I like to eat pickled herring. You may not understand why, but you know I like it. Suppose God commanded us as his people to never eat it, saying, "Thou shalt not eat pickled herring ever in any mount at any time." Now, he didn't say that, but just, you know, for the sake of conversation, suppose he did. For me to eat it would be a deliberate act of disobedience to God, my turning away from him because my love for pickled herring exceeded my love for him. That act would demonstrate that I do not love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and stomach. At the same time, and this is where the connection comes in, folks, at the same time, I would be demonstrating a lack of love for you because of how my disobedience potentially drives a wedge between you and God. My act communicates that obedience doesn't really matter, that my personal desires are more important than God's word. That, in a negative way, can work as an enticement for you to turn away from God in the same manner. That's why it is unloving for me to disobey God's commands. The point being that faithful obedience to what God says and how he calls us to live demonstrates our love for him and our love for one another. That is because it demonstrates the transforming power of God's love and his truth. We bear witness to that and to him, not only with our lips, but in our lives, in that positive way. When John adds here that God's commandments are not burdensome, we may wonder if he's from another planet. Sometimes they feel burdensome. Well, you know what? If we feel they are burdensome, the burden lies not in the commandments themselves, but in our fickle and divided hearts. Do you remember what Jesus had to say to those who are wearied in that way? He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light." Folks, our obedience does not stem from fear. Our obedience flows from a deepening faith in God, the truth of his word, and a deepening love for the one who has first loved us and abides in us. That prompts us to engage in faithful action to advance his purposes in the world, serving in ways he calls us to serve. We plant vegetable seeds in the Garden of Eden to help feed the hungry, and gospel seeds in the lives of the lost so they too might come to know Jesus as their Savior. Glenn Barker's comment is helpful at this point. He wrote, "To the natural man, the will of God is strange, the requirement for righteousness foreign and hard. Even the law of love is a burden. But when God has entered into us and when we trust God's Son, then his yoke becomes gentle and the burden light." It is all about being connected to him. And that's exactly where John brings us back to where he started. Overcoming the world is connected to Jesus. Verse 4, he goes on, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Jesus said it himself. Bearing fruit as his followers will only happen as we abide in him. Abiding in him, we will bear much fruit. Fruit which will bear witness to his love before the world he came to save. Just this past week, a friend of mine shared this timely verse with me from Psalm 73. The verse reads, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Do you hear that? My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We are well acquainted with the first part, the limitations of our failing heart and flesh. We know all about coming to the end of ourselves when that is our dependence. Abiding in Christ, we have the privilege and benefit of living with the second part as an even greater truth. Overcoming the world is not about winning some global version of a WWE SmackDown. Overcoming the world is about living with God as the strength of our heart and our portion forever. That is the gift we are given through faith in Jesus Christ. To my friend, I say, thanks for the reminder. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your promise to never leave us or forsake us as your children. Help us to cling to you, even as we know you are holding us fast in the palm of your hand. Father, as we do so, help us to see the victory has been won, that Jesus has accomplished that on our behalf. What remains for us is to walk in that victory, in that life that we have in him. Give us the courage to do so, allowing us to see the fullness of life you have for each one of us as your people. Do that work in our midst, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.